Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As the field of genetics hurtles forward, we continue to ask questions about the ethics of genetics and genetic research. Our guest today is Joe Iricheta. He's a researcher with Missouri's Breaks Industries Research. We're reaching him in Eagle Butte. Joe, welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about some of the interesting things that you've been up to lately and then and bring this into a conversation for our listeners about genetic research and ethics. And again, if you have a question that you'd like us to sort of turn this topic to, send me an email inthemoment@sdpb.org or text 605-956-7372. That's 605-956-SDPB. Joe, the ethical, legal, and social implications of the Human Genome Project, a conference for 2017. Give me an idea of what that conference contained and where you went.
So this was held at the University of Connecticut in June, and it had several bioethicists that showed up there, as well as federal representatives from the National Institutes of Health. And for those that don't know, Joseph Biden, Francis Collins, and former President Barack Obama all passed a couple of initiatives before he left office, which was one was the Cancer Moonshot, and the other one was called the All of Us Program, which seeks to tailor-make diagnosis, therapeutics, and prevention to individual patients rather than groups of individuals. Up until recently, most of research, biomedical research and medicine, has been conducted on white males ages 18 to 35. And if there were any groups outside of that demographic, they were small sample sizes. They were usually white women. And then maybe African Americans, and that way of doing research is fraught with a lot of problems, particularly identity and return of benefit and participation. A lot of those other groups are a little bit leery of participating in research as a group because there's been some mistrust and some kind of bad actors in the past. So this group was looking specifically at the question of the rollout of All of Us, and many of them were former physicians or former PhD researchers in that sort of area, but they have switched to bioethics. And although All of Us program is very laudable, it's a good idea, there's not been enough, in my opinion anyway, public education or even sort of professional education on all that it entails. It's has a lot of logistical problems, and those were brought out at this conference, as well as potential legal problems, which is also brought out at this conference. And NIH, has the money to do this, and they're going to go forward with it regardless, and hopefully work out these problems as they go. And it's these conversations with these large groups of researchers and bioethicists that needs to take place more often.
So All of Us, is it, you said it's, something that was pushed forward by the Obama administration, Joseph Biden, part of that conversation. Is it a national initiative? Is it, an education piece? Or is it, what are the details of it that are going to be difficult logistically?
So it's not education. It's a actual program where they're trying to collect genetic samples along with kind of the conventional lab diagnostics and general demographics, and try to associate with certain outcomes with certain either environmental exposures or genetic conditions, and then kind of winnow down to the individual. So they're going to start broadly and then get to very specific types of information, but they have to start somewhere, and of course, there's going to be problems and bugs to work out at the beginning, and probably the promise of precision medicine might not come to fruition for another 20 years, but they have to start somewhere. Some of the problems are is still getting this buy-in from underserved minority populations, or sometimes they call them vulnerable populations, like women or pregnant women. Those kinds of things have issues, as they always have. But the difference here is that all of us seeks to recruit heavily on those underserved populations. Otherwise, the project's not going to be very meaningful.
Okay. Should people be concerned about sharing that genetic information?
Well, you know, there's kind of two Americas, right? There's the America that's the free and just and fair kind of ideal of America, and then there's the practical way things roll out. So there's a law called the Genomic Discrimination or Genomic Information Non-Discrimination Act,
right.
And everybody's really concerned that that is not very specific, or it's not broad enough to handle every contingency. And you know, I think the last time we talked, we talked about some of these private companies trying to make it mandatory for employees to give over their genetic data,
right,
to qualify for their health insurance and wellness programs. And that's kind of, some people view that as a kind of an end run around GINA, because, you know, insurance companies and employers need to keep their costs low, and people are worried about, you know, this whole business of pre-existing conditions. And, you know, pre-existing conditions, the way they're defined now, are, you know, something you get diagnosed between the ages of 5 and 15. But if you have genetic information, it's almost as if you would be diagnosed far before that, without any kind of practical knowledge about how genetic risk actually turns into livable risk. And so that's the thing that people are worried about.
I'm curious, too, about a change in administration. Whatever side of the political, you know, aisle you fall on, certainly the switch from President Obama's administration to President Trump's administration demonstrates that, you know, one administration may try to undo things or do different things. Could be vastly different priorities. How does that work with something like the All of Us program? Does it matter a great deal when the national leadership changes over, or is it outside of politics?
I think it can be, especially if corporations are involved in contributing to campaigns, because, you know, all of this data is partitioned. It's partitioned into private data. It's partitioned into public research that's funded with tax dollars. It's partitioned into military data. It's partitioned into criminal forensics data. And all of those pots of data help to inform one another. And right now, they currently have walls between them. You can't just switch data from one place to another, but there's all kinds of reasons why you would want to do that. You know, you can argue that having some of this research data about broad populations, say Latinos or African Americans, might help inform criminal forensics better. Certain things about military data might be able to identify people in the field better if mm-hmm. you have people that are unidentifiable in conventional means. And so those are good arguments, but, you know, people are worried about abuse, and so they want to keep those walls up. And so when you have changes of administration, it really comes down to how much you trust that party or that group of individuals who are making up the administration, whether or not they're going to keep those walls up or whether they're going to take them down for kind of unethical means or unethical ends.
Sure. And you might trust one, and 4 years later you might not trust the incoming one. You never know, right? That's the nature of American politics. You don't know who's coming next.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit. We just have about a minute left. Tell me a little bit about the work you've been doing through Johns Hopkins and something interesting that you've learned lately as you sort of continue this education about genetic research and ethics.
Well, I work mostly with American Indians and Latinos of indigenous descent. You know, people don't often equate the two, but many countries, Peru, Ecuador, Mexico, Bolivia, those countries are almost completely indigenous, you know, with very little admixture. And so those are the places where researchers are getting their genomic information right now, because Canada and the United States, those tribes are sovereign nations, and so they can kind of control that kind of research activity. But even though we should proceed cautiously with sharing this data, we need this information to inform things like cancer therapy and other kinds of therapy. For instance, warfarin, the standard dose is 5 milligrams a day for Caucasians. It's 10 milligrams a day for African Americans. But no one knew what the dose was supposed to be for American Indians. And research that I've done has shown that the dose has to be a lot lower. You know, It has to be at either 1 milligram a day or a half a milligram a day, which is 10 times lower than the average dose. And that's a huge finding and a huge risk if you're not sure what to dose an American Indian at for that particular drug.
Wow. That's the promise of precision medicine. You take away the risks, the sort of philosophy of it is we'll be able to individually treat each person, the individual that they are.
Yes.
Wow. Big stuff. All right. Joey Urshata, researcher with Missouri Breaks Industries Research. Come back again and talk to us more. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.